If you just shut yourself down and you're like, I'm not even going to be curious about my reaction, or it's all their fault or it's all my fault, you just aren't going to grow.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Yunus, and I believe we need all the help we can get when it comes to living a full and free life. Here you'll find honest truth, practical tips, and perspective changes that help you embrace the miracle that is your life. It's an in-process conversation that's going to be unfiltered, and it better be fun. Let's get real together.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Yes. Let's just start right in the middle. Welcome to Let's Be Real, everyone. You know me. I'm Nicole, but one of our favorite guests who I'm trying to have you be a friend of the show.
I'm a friend of the show.
You know
already.
That's a thing that people say? Like, when you start being a regular.
Is that like a thing that like is a current thing, or yeah. Is that something from like back in the
like
olden days?
Thing. Like when for instance,
Johnny Carson
like,
had
no,
a.
No, I don't even.
Is that
why do you even know Johnny Carson? I know. I'm like, how do you even know that name? You're too young for that. You're just a baby girl. No, my publicist told me that like people, they like call you the friend of the, you're like a friend of the show.
Oh.
So like for instance, probably soon I'll be on the Today
it's
Show.
Industry speak.
But like it's industry speak for
sure.
Someone who's a regular. Just so fun to have, easy to be with.
So okay.
So, I mean, one more time, and you're a friend of the show. Guys, this is Erin Rose coming to you live.
Period.
What is it? It's Monday night. We're launching the book tomorrow. You
the
guys are going to hear this
launch.
On Wednesday. We've been waiting about 14 hours to get this podcast set up going, and we're here with you guys. Like, we are committed to who you are. We want you to be in this with us. So we're like in it and we're doing it and it's awesome.
We're here.
And Erin is here.
1000%.
To help us launch this baby book into the world.
Yeah. So we're really excited. I mean, Nicole is one of my dearest friends. Love her so much.
We just established, like, are we in the top five?
Yes.
Are we in the top
10? Talked about our friendship
How
ranking.
How we define the relationship.
It's hard for me, you know, I'm an only child, so it's really hard for me to say like what number people are. Like,
okay,
but once you're
you.
In, you're in.
See, I'm a middle child, so I can
oh,
say exactly
sure.
where everyone is. No problem. Just kidding.
You're in my top five. But yeah, so I'm super proud of Nicole, super excited for her. So we're just going to talk about book number 5.
I know. I think it's number 5. It's actually number 7, but
are you joking?
Anyone. No, I'm not. Because in 2010, I took a break. I was I was working as a therapist. This is very unusual for me because I really like to have life buttoned up, as you know. I like to have plan A and
overachiever.
Then like plan B, C, D, E, G, just in case. And
overachiever.
I really felt totally 100% overachiever. I really felt like God told me to take a break and like take a pause. And so
okay.
I kind of wrapped my counseling practice and just started writing. And I wrote a Bible study on Jonah. That's the first thing I ever wrote. Called The Divine Pursuit, self-published
wow.
it, and
Chronicle.
Actually my publisher picked it up at a conference, and that's why they started talking to me about another book.
Really?
Yeah, they were like, we don't want to publish this, which is
not
like,
this.
Not this at all.
But something else.
Not even something like this. Because at the time I was like, guys, I just really want to, this is literally what happened. I was like, I just really want to write Bible studies. Like, I just love when people are in the Word. I love for people to like find the relevancy of God's Word. And they were like, okay, so if you're not Beth Moore or Priscilla Shire, you can't write Bible studies. They won't make money. And
yeah.
I was like, oh,
cool.
Okay. But here we are, guys. We wrote a Bible study.
Woo!
So like now,
Nicole
like,
has
I get
finally made it.
I get to write Bible studies.
There's
now.
One other young woman that can write
that
a Bible study
helpful.
In Estelle.
Who?
Her name is escaping me. It's only because
right,
I'm on
her
the...
name ain't Beth or Priscilla. So you don't know. You're like, who even is it?
I do. She has like long, she has locks. She wrote Gay Girl, Good God.
Jackie
Hill Perry.
I didn't
thank
know she
you.
Had written Bible studies. She writes
yeah.
great books.
Yeah.
I didn't know that she had.
She it took her a while
yeah,
to get to the Bible
say,
study.
Because
she wrote
made
the books
her write
first.
Books. They yeah. were like, you can't write a Bible. I get it. I'm like, okay,
yeah.
that actually makes sense. But at the time I was like, And that's when I wrote She's Got Issues. Was
oh
after
my
that.
Gosh.
So Jonah was first, and then She's Got Issues, then Brave Enough. Then I co-wrote a book
okay.
with my senior pastor of the time, and then Struggle Is Real. So this really is like number
5.75.
Yeah. But you know what? It's just like babies. After you have 3, you don't know how many kids you have. You're like, I don't know how many
Nicole.
Are out there. You just like, it's
yeah.
happening.
Yeah, 1,000%.
They're out there. But
so this book is called The Miracle Moment.
Where's your book?
My copy is right here. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys, it's all dog-eared.
I've been reading it every single night before I go to sleep.
Lies, you guys, because this is Let's Be Real. I literally handed Erin the book like 20 minutes ago and was like, hey, just flip through it. Like, what do you want to know? Because I want you guys to know how it really is.
The pages are tear stained. I have my own notes scribbled in the margins.
She's a whole journal filled. No, she's none of that, because the reality is we're in the back bedroom of my home.
Period.
We
exactly.
We literally can't get this podcast going. I can't really do a regular book launch because it's COVID. It makes me sad. So we're just with you right now. And Erin has not read the book, nor have any of you. It's fine.
But we're going to talk about the content.
I know we are. You can ask me all the questions you have based on the book cover.
Okay. So it says The Miracle Moment. Subtitle is How Tough Conversations Can Actually Transform Your Most Important Relationships. And this is really important to me because...
I know. Are you intrigued? I hope.
I'm 1,000% intrigued because I'm a relationship person. Ooh. Like, I feel very strongly about having positive relationships. My friendships are some of my most important relationships. Yeah. I have a man now. I got a man.
You need to sing at least just a piece of What a Man if you were gonna. Do you know
what a man? What a man? Yes, what
a man. Erin is significantly younger.
It's not
than me,
significant.
And I was like, does
Mount Nicole
Peppa, like actually transform? Like, does
Girl.
Do they transcend my generation? I'm just checking.
I didn't know if you knew it because I just was like, there are some cultural differences. I'm not going to name what they are.
We're going to let you guys figure it out.
Like, I don't know. Is this the same? What a man?
Girl, don't even ask me. I will sing you every line of most. I watched Salt and Pepper documentary during
Whoa.
COVID.
Nicole.
It was a Lifetime original movie.
Oh yeah, it's not a documentary. I did not watch it because I don't have cable because I'm a millennial.
I was like, this is really happening. I am watching a Lifetime movie.
I would have watched it though.
Now I will say, on the commercial breaks, the real Salt and Pepper are there. Like,
narrating. Yeah, 1,000%.
So I feel like it was a close collaboration where they were like into it. I mean, they were okay with how it was rolling. It was good. I liked it.
Speaking of Salt and Pepper.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to relationships. The miracle moment.
Okay, so you love relationships. You love friendships.
Yeah. Like, I just really feel really, you know, I'm really invested in all of my friendships. And so I really feel like it's really important to make sure those relationships last, especially those. I mean, it's important to make sure your family relationships last, like, and your romantic relationships last. But for me, I feel like you should put almost just as much work into your friendships as you do some of those other relationships. Like, and so I think that, like, you got to talk stuff out.
I do want to ask you, let's go top five. Top five friends.
About me now.
Top five friends. I know, but I like it. This is what the miracle moment is about, us working on our relationships. Top five friends. Have you had like a hard situation with all five?
Yes.
See, because that is
actually the point of
the book. The point of the book is that friendships and relationships are solidified when we can have a hard conversation, experience grace and growth, and lean into one another. They are better. Like, those relationships are actually better for it.
You go through the fire. They're tried by fire. Yeah. Like, I think that...
Hard both ways. Like, you've had friends, like, bring truth to you, and you've brought truth to them.
Yes. I think that for a lot of people, they're not used to having truth brought to them. Most people are not used to that because... I think most people are not confrontational. So people go through their lives and, you know, friendships will come and go.
That's right.
And it's because those relationships get broken or severed because people don't want to have those tough conversations.
Right. So some, like, there's friction, and instead of leaning in, you just fizzle out.
Yeah. But I'm not like that. I wasn't always like that. I had a friend in college who just would fight for our friendship. And I'm like,
girl,
you're too intense. And she was just like, no, you are my friend.
She sort of taught you.
Yeah, she taught me how to be friends.
Because you were an only child. I wonder how
only
that
child.
Played in.
Yeah, I had a friend in college. Her name was Tanarsha Hunter. We're still best friends to this day.
Really?
We've been friends, best friends, I think, since 2006.
That's amazing.
And it's 2021.
And is she in town?
She lives in Myrtle Beach.
So do y'all work? How do you work on your relationship?
We talk on the phone every day.
Every day?
Yeah.
Oh,
I talk to her every day.
You know, one of my best friends is also my college roommate.
Yeah.
We also fought like sisters.
Oh, yeah.
We would fight and we'd be mad and we'd be so storming mad. Around the room. And then she'd be like, do you want to go for a run? And then we would try to beat each other running. And then we would just be over it. But what was cool about it and interesting to me, to your point about being an only, is she had three sisters. Mm. And I think she knew how to do sisterhood.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't think that I really
knew. You had brothers?
I had a sister, but she was 3 years older than me and I left for college. I was pretty
early,
young.
Yeah.
And then I had two brothers and our family dynamic was just really different.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like tight knit,
sure.
highly relational world.
Gotcha.
And she did. It was the same thing. Like she taught me how to fight it out
yeah.
and stay
in a relationship.
Friends. And I am good friends with her to this day.
100%.
100%.
And that's just really valuable where, you know, like I can actually go kind of like, not head to head. That sounds a little rough, but like head to head with this person and we're still going to be
well,
in a relationship.
I can tell them the truth and they can tell me the truth.
Yes. We
both
can handle
won't like it.
But I'm going to be mad at you, right. but that doesn't mean we're not going to be friends.
Exactly.
Like we're actually going to stay best friends and be closer and stronger because of
it. I know. I'm really curious. Like, I wonder what percentage of people actually have that experience.
Well, I'll tell you this, Nicole, you have told me some things I didn't want to hear in our relationship yeah. and in our friendship. I'd be like, girl, you don't know.
What did I tell you?
I don't want to say it on air.
It's so sad that I don't even know what it is.
You just have been like, you just cut, I mean, like straight no chaser.
Yeah.
And I mean, it wasn't that harsh. I'm a pretty vanilla person.
Definitely out of love.
Of course.
But I don't know what it was.
Yeah. It wasn't mean at all, but it was just like, dang, Nicole, but you ain't even here by side. But it didn't matter. But I also know that like it came from love. And like, I can receive that yeah. from you. That there's no problem. And maybe one day down the road, 10 or 15 years down the road, I can tell you the truth.
No, you tell me the truth now. Well, don't
do
tell
I?
Me right now on this recording.
I'm not going to tell you on
you
the recording.
Can tell me later.
In our own friendship. There's
I
nothing for
so.
Me to tell right now.
Okay, good. I was going to say, I yeah. hope I've tried to open the door to be like, hey, you know, if there's anything that you feel like I need to know, like, I hope you'll tell me.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I'm older than you and stuff.
You keep saying that, Nicole. We're
Lord.
Peers. We were born in the same decade.
Were we?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. Were you born in the
cool.
70s?
I was born in the 70s, but you were born in the
80s. I was born in the 80s.
But we weren't born in the 90s.
No, I was not
but
born
you were
in the 90s
born,
at all.
What year were you born?
88.
Okay. So no, we're 11 years apart.
11 years apart.
So I am truly your elder.
You are. You
ways.
Are actually my
Never
elder.
Never tell
that's
me the
true.
Truth.
Never speak truth with me.
Never tell me actually things anymore.
No miracle moments
do.
With us.
You know what? You tell me the truth about life even when you don't know it because you live your life with integrity and
I
that
try
allows
to.
Me to like engage. You have. Like there's been times where you've said things. I remember particularly even conversations we've had around race, conversations about being women in ministry.
Oh, yeah.
That you might not be directly confronting me, but like you're living in your integrity
yeah.
and it allows me to be like, how can I do more of that?
Sure.
Which I think is what's beautiful about good relationships is that that happens. It
yeah.
doesn't have to always be conflict. And a lot of the
sure.
book isn't just about conflict. It's about living in alignment with who you
yeah.
really are and like living into that truth, not your truth, quote unquote, culturally, but the idea of like, I can have integrity about who I am and trust that I'm growing to like, I want to grow to be this better person. And like, God's going to bring along the people in my life. And sometimes some things fall apart and some things stay together.
So say more about like having integrity and like being who you are, being the same person everywhere.
Yeah.
Say more about how that connects to, strengthening relationships.
Yeah. Well, yes. Thank you for asking that. I mean, I think for in the book, particularly, a friend of mine read it, a very early version. And I was like, hey, what were you surprised by? She's like, I was actually really surprised by how much of the book is introspective. Like there's
mm-hmm.
a whole big portion of the book. And the reason that I focused a lot on self-awareness and honoring your feelings and understanding your feelings was because I do think to live in integrity, you do have to be in touch with like what's happening emotionally with you
sure.
when you're living in this world, when you're living in relationships, when you feel slighted, when you feel disappointed, when you feel misunderstood or like someone that you love misses you. Like part of the work that we need to do is to get in touch and honor our emotions and become more clear about like what we need and who we
yeah.
are. And a lot of times for me and my own personality, becoming more clear has been allowing myself to be vulnerable, like allowing myself to engage with the harder emotions. Cause it's super easy for me to just like move on to the next thing, dissociate from what's happening, find like a lot of life and success and not actually slow down and be mm-hmm. like, what is my body really telling me? Like, what is my heart really telling me about what I need and what I'm disappointed in or what I'm frustrated by? And then when I'm in integrity with myself, then I can figure out how do I engage with my relationships? Because a lot of times if we're not doing that work, our emotions will come out super sideways. So like, let's say, Aaron, you're super disappointed about something in your life that just isn't working out the way that you thought. And you're not willing to really engage or wrestle with what that is. Well, right. Then you're out with Juwan and he like says something that annoys you.
That's my boyfriend.
That's her boyfriend. And he says something that annoys you and you like this energy that's in your body just like comes out sideways
yeah.
at someone you love. And you don't know why you were really mean. Like you don't know why you were like mean or dismissive or stonewalled yeah. them. They certainly don't know why you right. did that. So you're not living in integrity because you're not even in touch with like, why am I doing this? Like, yeah. why am I so frustrated? Why am I medicating myself with Netflix or shopping yeah. or drinking or whatever? Like you expect people to love you when you're not even in touch with like, what's even going on with me? And most of us are trying to keep ourselves from feeling those harder like emotions, you know, I'm disappointed with the direction of my life, or I'm not sure where whatever is happening in my, and we got to do that work. You can't, it will come out and it will come out to the detriment of you in your relationships over time. So
how much of, you know, how much of the pre-work with your own self should mm-hmm. be done.
Yeah.
First, because I mean, it can be kind of overwhelming to be like, man, I just need to really work on myself.
Oh, it's like, so overwhelming. And when people say that, I'm like, I don't even know what you mean by that. Like, I'm just going to take some time for me. Like, I'm just going to date Jesus. I'm like, I don't understand what you're even saying.
Jesus is not your boyfriend.
He is not your boyfriend. And I said that yesterday in my sermon. I was like, no, like, that's not the relationship status. But when people say that to me, I'm like, actually, no, what I'm suggesting is what if you became a scientist of your own life? Like you entered in with a posture of curiosity, not mm-hmm. condemnation. You're like, I'm just going to be curious. I'm going to be curious about why in this reaction, in this engagement, in this relationship, I act this way. Or like, I'm going to be curious about like, why did I have such a strong, like with this person?
Yeah.
And instead of condemning myself or trying to shut it down or even like being defensive and like figuring out a reason why they were wrong, I'm just going to be curious and be like, huh, what is this teaching me about who I am?
Okay.
And so it isn't about like, you got to go to therapy for 2 years before you have good relationships. So you got to like work on me. I'm like, no, just as you're going through life, mm-hmm. what if you just became more curious? It's actually the thing that sets humans apart from animals is the ability, metacognition. It's the ability to think about thinking. Ooh. Like only humans, like I really feel like it's the imprint of God's design that we can actually come out of our thinking and think about what we're thinking. Like we can think about what we're feeling and thinking. And so a lot of what I'm trying to do in the miracle moment at the beginning is to say, hey, let's come out of that threatened place where you feel like mm-hmm. you got to prove yourself or something. And like, what if you were just like, I am who I am and I'm going to be curious about my reactions. I'm going to rewind the game tape. And so when I have an interaction with someone, I had an interaction with a friend where I literally, Aaron, I don't even remember what I said. Like, that's how much it didn't mean anything to me. It was like a very quick thing. I was in my car. She was in her car. I said something. And then like...
She wanted to fight you?
Uh-huh. Well, no, it was worse because actually I would actually prefer to fight. She like stonewalled me.
Dang.
For several days. And I could
tell.
That's
hurtful. That's really hurtful when that
happens. Something was going on.
And you don't know why.
You don't know why. I literally couldn't even remember what I said.
Yeah.
So again, be your own scientist. I'm curious. And you got to rewind the game tape and be like, okay, like, let me think about like what happened. What might have been some of what happened there? What can mm-hmm. I own? What could I understand? What could I seek to remedy? Like,
right.
even if I didn't mean it, like there's something happened and right. I need to like engage with what that something is. Now, thankfully with this friend, we had like a 3-day cold war. And then like, basically I was like, girl, we got to talk. You're important. It's like what you said. You're important to me. Our relationship's important. And then I understood, hey, she told me when you said this thing, this is how I interpreted it. And it was so hurtful. Like her interpretation of what I said that I truly didn't mean. Of course, you do have to search your heart and ask like, did I mean any of that?
Right.
And I was like, I just apologized. And then I told her how it felt to be stonewalled. She apologized and we're tighter now. Like we have a better relationship.
Good.
But if you just shut yourself down and you're like, I'm not even going to be curious about my reaction, or I'm going to be like, it's all their fault or it's all my fault. You just aren't going to grow.
That's good. Know?
That's good.
Yeah.
So, Nicole, what was the most challenging part about writing?
Oh my gosh. The most challenging part about writing a book is always that I can't 100% live out like what I'm teaching. Yeah. Which you and I, we're lady preachers. We know.
Lady preachers.
I mean, any kind of preacher knows this, but lady preachers know this. Like, we have to teach what's true. It doesn't mean we're able to like 100% do it.
Oh yeah. 1000%.
And we got to live with that. I mean, that's part of it. Yeah. Is like, you got to live with like, I do know this to be right and true and good. And I also know that I myself am not able to, or I'm not willing or not able, or I'm still growing.
I'm not there yet.
No, I'm not there yet.
This is preaching me first.
It's like 100% preaching me first. And particularly when you guys get to chapter, I think it's 10, which is like the chapter on failure. Mm-hmm. That is 100% from my heart to yours. Like, yeah. Wrote it like, this is my actual lived experience right now, is this is the places where I felt like failure in relationships. And this is what I've learned from going through that. And it's not because I could necessarily fix them, which is what I talk about in the book. It's more like, how can I grow from this?
Right.
It's not like, how can I like rewind this whole thing and figure out what I could have done differently to make it perfect? Because like the reality is like Jesus was perfect and people still didn't trust him and like betrayed him and left him and like doubted him. He was perfect. Mm-hmm. So like if you think you can be perfect in relationships and have relationships work out, you're like not living in integrity.
1000%.
It just might not.
Yep.
And that's the hard truth of this world. So
yeah, that's really challenging. I'm glad you could be honest about that, Nicole, because a lot of people don't say that.
Oh man.
A lot of people don't admit. Like,
well, I have to tell you, like after I went through that season, a particular season, I was seeking out a lot of help from mentors and other pastors, guys that I like don't really know necessarily that well. And I have to tell you 100% of them, and listen to me, wherever you are in the world right now, someone you admire and love is probably in this category. 100% of those people opened up and told me about a deep relational hurt that they had.
Yeah.
They don't talk about it publicly. Like they're not out there like podcasting right. about it necessarily, but like everyone I know basically over the age of 40, who's a leader, has like a hard, deep relational hurt.
Wounded,
that they've experienced
that has
in their
just
career.
Completely changed them.
Yes. Like, and they might not talk about it, but it has like impacted them. And mm-hmm. it actually like, it brought me such great comfort because it was people that I admire and respect so much. And I'm like, if this person
oh, yeah.
that I admire and respect from afar has been through that thing, then like maybe this is actually about the way that we have to live in the world. It's not about me being
perfect. Oh, 1000%. You know? We're never going to be like perfect in the world and going through things like sailing on a cloud. Like yeah, that just is
or
never. Just like,
or that you can do it right enough. And that's like just my own like life that I would live that out.
Yeah.
Like I can do it right enough that I won't have to do and experience hard things. And that was really important to me in this
that's
book.
That's amazing
because
to learn.
Because self-help books make you think, if you can do it right enough, there is a lot of them out there. I'm not going to name names right now, but I just need all of you guys listening to realize if you're reading self-help books, you're generally, we call it the prosperity gospel in Christian circles.
Yeah.
You're generally picking up this belief system. If you can do it right,
oh, 100%.
All will be well.
All will be well. All the doors will be flung open wide right. for you.
And that is not the message of the miracle moment.
Right.
I'm like, it is, and my editors know this, like we've talked about this book after book. I'm like every book, my last book I wrote, I told some stories about folks who were divorced. One who went through hard things in their marriage. One ended up divorced. One ended up reconciling. And my editors were like, oh, we don't know if you need both of these stories. I was like, no, I need both of these stories. Cause I need people who are in Christian circles to know not one of those is the right thing.
Right.
Like it's important that we tell both because you don't know how it's going
right.
to always end. And we do have failures and we do have hurts in our life. And the message of the miracle moment is not, hey, if you do all of these things in the right order, all will be well. But I do think if you do these things, you will experience more meaning and richness in general,
yeah.
like in your life. So
do you practice like the stuff you talk about in the book, like on your family members? Like,
yes.
Incognito, you know what I mean? Like totally. With your daughter and your sons, just being let me just put this into practice because they are getting on my nerves and I need to have this.
100%. Like a big one that I put into practice is like, which I try to teach my clients a lot, is like name behaviors that everyone can agree with. Like a lot of people immediately put interpretations on an experience that they're in. So if I'm like, you just disrespected me, but I didn't tell you what you did that I saw. Like, and I'll be like with my kids, like, when we stood at the breakfast counter and I said this, and then you said this, and then you rolled your eyes and you turned your body away from me. Mm-hmm. What I experienced was you disrespecting me. So it's like trying to get to a place where you're like naming the facts of the situation and then sharing your experience. Because when you do that, there's room for the person to be like, oh my gosh, I didn't mean to do that. Something was in my contact. But like, maybe something was like, you just gives people a chance to like engage with your interpretation. So I use that a lot with my kids and with Dave. Like we talk like that a lot.
But like, are they like, mom, we know what you're doing?
100%. But we do it anyway. On the good side too. Like I try to do it on the positive side too.
Course.
Like, you know, when you came in and you did X, Y, and Z and you asked me this and like you engaged in this way, like I felt like you were like really caring for me and loving me and I'm appreciative, you know?
I mean, are they still just like rolling their eyes?
Yeah, 100%. Of course they are. But they're pretty awesome.
She's like, everything is so meaningful with this woman.
I know, everything has meaning.
So much meaning. Can I just roll my eyes and walk away?
It's all meta at like, all times.
At all times you ever take a break.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Talk to us. What's the call to action? I did not change that question at all. I did not put it in my own words.
C-T-A. Well, I mean, I think that I do. I get it, guys. Like when people write books or I read somebody's book, it's not changing my life. I mean, some books have changed my life. But in general, when it comes to books, I'm looking for a friend. I'm looking for an author who feels like a friend who can like really help me or encourage me in one specific area. Mm-hmm. So honestly, like that one specific area that I think this book can meet you in, I truly think the very best way that it works is if you're like, you just feel a disconnect. Like you just want more out of some of your relationships. And maybe you even have a relationship or two in mind. This book works so well if you're actually like living it out. So for sure, like people, some of my clients who are in work relationships where like maybe they're leveling up as leaders or they're just trying to figure out like, how do I do this well? It will work for that. If you're like, you just want your marriage to be richer and you know that you guys like don't connect super well when it comes to conflict, it'll work for that. I think that's the best way to read a book is when you're like, okay, I actually have something that I need this for. And if you don't have that going on in your life right now, maybe you leave it on your bookshelf and there'll come a time.
Buy it anyway.
But you know, if you like practical tools and exercises that really help you like figure some of this stuff out, that's what I like in book, like that's what I need. And so that's kind of what the book's going to be for. But it also has a Bible study totally separate. So the book, I'm just going to like, I don't want you to be surprised when you open it. Like I only quote like two verses in the book, the whole book, because it's all, Aaron's
Nicole,
like, why'd you do that?
Right.
Because it's
has
all
she been rightly
Bible,
dividing?
It's all Bible principles in it without being explicit because I wanted it to reach a whole lot of people. And I didn't want to have any stumbling blocks for people who are like, well, if this is a Christian book, I'm not a Christian. So all the like Bible study part is in the Bible study, which is separate. So you can pick up the separate Bible study. It's got a video series on Right Now Media. It's got a work series that you can use at work. So it's got a lot of stuff. So you guys, whatever, if that works for you, I hope you'll pick it up and check it out.
Please do pick it up and check it out.
Thank you. I didn't even ask you to say that and you said it anyway.
Of course. We're friends.
Well, Aaron, thank you for being
I'm glad to be here. I'm not sure that
show.
I really contributed anything,
you
but
you contributed so much.
I'm really
such
glad.
A great conversation, especially around friendships.
Yeah.
Would you come back and keep being a friend
of
the show?
I will 1,000% come back and be a friend of the
guys,
show.
Guys, we want to have a Lady Preacher series. Are you interested? Check yes or no.
Just yeah, let us know.
You know, we'll put it on our Instagram poll. You let us know. You want more of me and Aaron? If you don't want more of me and Aaron, just like don't tell
don't
us.
Don't say anything. if you're just like, never have that other lady on there, don't say anything.
That is not even true.
But if you're super into it, then please say
please
something.
Say it like really loud. Okay, you guys, thanks for being with us. Pick up the book and we'll talk with you next week.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Let's Be Real podcast. If you have a question for the show, you can send it to me at Nicole@NicoleEunice.com. And hey, if you're enjoying this, we'd love for you to like, subscribe, share it with your friends, pass it on, shout it from the rooftops, whatever you feel like doing, because the reality is, let's get as many people getting real as possible. Talk to you soon.